Thanking the church for your kindness. Theron Simmons is a gentleman that comes with the Hanses. He's their neighbor. He'll be 94 years old this month. And he has a hernia. He's going to have surgery toward the end of the month. I believe it's the 24th maybe. And they took a while to determine if they could do it or not, you know, because of his heart and general health, and they're going to go ahead and do it. So please remember Theron Simmons in your prayers. He's a good Christian man. Continue to pray for Mike Hoyle and Miss Gwen. Pray for Guy Bailey, who's out of the hospital, but he still has pneumonia, and they detected a liver problem, so he's going to have to go through a battery of tests. Johnny Belcher is a guy who goes to the campground a lot that many of us have met, and Johnny is having congestive heart failure. And Johnny needs the Lord in his life, so I hope you'll pray for him. Both Pat and Tammy are here today. Glad to see them. Continue to pray for them both with health. Paula Sprague, please lift her in prayer. Praise the Lord will arrest the cancer and get her back on her feet. Tommy Nance, we pray for her with cancer. The Baskins are in a shut-in condition with their health. Please remember them. Remember the Rosses who moved down to Simpsonville, South Carolina. Both have health issues that need prayer. Brenda Smith waiting on some doctor's appointment to get some arteries opened up, maybe stents. So remember her, please. And please pray for the Holloways today. I want to say something online to the Bowers. Tim and Grace, Tim's parents, are celebrating their 51st wedding anniversary. Amen. And they go to their church early, and then they watch our live stream of our services here today. So I wanted to say that to them. Congratulations, and God bless you on your 51st wedding anniversary. Joy and I will celebrate our 51st in May. I know we don't look like we're old enough to have been married that long. We were just children when we got married, you know. And she was 18 years old, still in high school. And I don't advise that to anybody to get married that young. But we got married in May of 1971, went on a honeymoon. I took her back to Boone, North Carolina, and dropped her off at her dad's house, and I went back to Camp Lejeune in the Marine Corps. And then after she finished high school, which was 2 weeks later, then I came back on a weekend and got her, and we moved to Camp Lejeune with everything we owned in the back seat of a car, you know. And some of those hard times, if they don't last too long, are fond memories we look back on now. We learned the Spraggs lived, had a house not far from where we lived, and they shopped at the same Piggly Wiggly that we did. And Paula told me a story about one time the boys got out of the yard and they were down at the Piggly Wiggly, and so they had to call them and come get your kids, you know. So we would walk to the Piggly Wiggly from our little house. We lived in a condo type thing, a big house split up in apartments. And we would walk to the Piggly Wiggly to save gas. And our great treat was we'd buy popcorn and Kool-Aid. You know, that was the big treat. So I'm glad that didn't last too long. I don't drink Kool-Aid anymore. And Tuesday I go to the hospital, get this kidney stone zapped with a laser, and hopefully all the pieces will come out rapidly. If it has moved down far enough from the kidney, they might be able to go back in and get some of the bigger pieces with a basket device on a cystoscope. If not, I'll just have to pass the pieces. They will insert a drain stent, which is a plastic tube about this long. One part of it goes into your kidney, the other part goes into your bladder. Kind of has a half circle so that it will stay open and drain the kidney and let the stones pass and all that sort of thing. So I liken it to wearing a strand of barbed wire on your inside. You know, that's how it feels. So I'm be glad to get it over with, and I know most of you have been praying for us, and I appreciate it very much. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless these prayer requests we mentioned, and ask Him to bless the service here today. Jacob, would you do that for us as you come to lead the next song?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for the privilege that we have to come to you in prayer, Lord, that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ, Lord, and we're thankful that we don't have to go to a priest, we don't have to do confessional, we can just come straight to you with our requests, Lord, and know that you hear us. And we pray this morning that as we continue to sing, as we hear the message that you've laid on Pastor's heart, Lord, that we would praise you and worship you, bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do and say, Lord. I pray that you would be with the few requests that Pastor mentioned this morning. I pray that you'd be with James, who has a doctor appointment on Wednesday, Lord. I pray that you would, and having some heart trouble and leaky valves, Lord, I just pray that you would be with him, Lord. Give him strength, Lord. He needs strength during this time, Lord. Give the doctors wisdom, Lord. I pray that you would be with those struggling with cancer, so many in our church on the prayer list and so many around the world that are battling cancer every day, just fighting for their lives, Lord. I pray that you would be with their families. I pray you'd be with Paula Spragg and Tammy Nance, as Pastor mentioned this morning, Lord, that you just lift them up and encourage them, give them strength as they go through the treatments, and give their family strength and encouragement through your word, Lord. Pray that you'd be with Brenda Smith, who may have to have stents put in, Lord. I pray. I want to thank you first off for her faithfulness to you and to this church over the years, Lord. But I pray that you would just be with the doctors and give them wisdom to know how to proceed, Lord. I pray for all those that are here this morning, if there's one that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I just pray that today would be the day that they know you, that they would have a peace that only you can give, Lord, in the midst of a world that is chaotic, Lord. You give peace, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. And I pray that you would help us to find souls that need to know you, Lord, before it's too late. Help us to be a light in our community. Help us to glorify you this morning in our service and tonight as we gather again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we'll continue singing this morning in our hymnals. If you would, turn me to page 351. 351, we'll sing Near the Cross. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last verse of Near the Cross, page 351. And as you find it, I ask that you go ahead and stand with me as we sing once again to the Lord this morning, Near the Cross.
This morning, and to those watching on live streaming as well. Today's Sunday, the Lord's Day. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day. And so with all our troubles and trials and problems of the world, let's put those aside. Let's focus on the fact that God has saved us by His grace, that Christ lives, the Word of God is true, and we have so much to be thankful for today. And to keep our prayers lifted up on behalf of others. We remember the country of the Ukraine today, what a horrible situation war is, and especially when it attacks the civilian populations, destroying their homes and their cities and all of those kind of things. And so our hearts go out to those folks today, and we do remember them in prayer. We pray that somehow God will receive glory, that somehow people who don't know the Lord will turn to Him for help, and that somehow this will be a blessing to many with a fresh start in another country. And we pray for those that are in need of shelter and food and clothing. I'm thankful to hear of many major corporations in the United States sending multiple millions of dollars for aid. I was thankful for two gun manufacturers that sent 1 million rounds of ammunition to the Ukraine. And one company did it. It stimulated another company that is matching it. And the first company has also received quite a few donations up into the many thousands of dollars. And so they're going to send that money as well as the bullets to help the people of the Ukraine. So pray the logistics of all that will work so they can help these people. There are a number of big missionary organizations that have set up feeding stations right outside the border. So as people come out continuously leaving the Ukraine, that they can get food and water and some direction of where to go and maybe be able to find shelter. Tents are being set up, but it's cold over there this time of the year. I saw last week there was some blowing snow in one of the cities that they were filming. So remember these folks. Also, please remember in your prayers Tracy Cornwell, who had a terrible migraine this morning, and she had to stay home because of that. Those of you that get migraine headaches, you know how severe those are. Miss Donna Hance's mother is here, and it's always good to see her. Nice to have you with us, and welcome. She'll be here a little while visiting, so remember her. And we have visitors. We welcome you. We thank you for coming and being here. Nadia's got friends from Rochester, New York. They know her, and they came anyway, all the way from Rochester, you know. So we're delighted to have them, and it's good to see them. Praise the Lord. All right. Good to see you all. Tonight, in the message, we'll have a brief special called Business, to do something to help a missionary that has an immediate need that we can't wait till the next business report. We'll do that at the close of the service tonight. And we're doing a little bit of some benevolence issues, so we'll call for special business and then take care of that tonight. So if you can be here tonight, that'll be great. And if not, watch live streaming, but you'll miss the business. 1 John chapter 5 in your Bibles. Today the message is not a deep theological message. It's plain, simple facts that a church, the things we need to do in what we call evangelism, giving the gospel, or simply in being a witness for Christ. It's vital that God's people speak up for the Lord. We must do it to glorify Him. We must do it to help others who do not know Christ as their Savior. Majority of people you all know are religious. They go to church somewhere. Even if they don't go every week, they go sometimes. But whether or not they really know the Lord is their Savior is the question. My wife and I were members of a denominational church. We went fairly regularly. We were considered members of the church, but we didn't know the Lord. We were religious without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we were 24 years of age, I was 24, so she was a year younger, by God's grace, we got saved. Then, for the first time, we really knew and understood the peace of God and the blessings of the Lord and began to understand the scriptures as we read them. And that made all the difference in the world, is to know Christ as your Savior. And so our goal as a church is to be a witness. So today I'm going to talk to you about, you know more than you think you do. You know more about the Lord. You know more about the Bible. You know more about how to be a witness for Christ than you even think that you do. And I want to point that out to you today. Very simple message. 1 John 5, and beginning with verse number 9. 1 John 5 and verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That witness, the Spirit of God, makes identification with our spirit so that we know we are the children of God. He said, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that you have eternal life. You'll never be an effective witness for Christ until you settle the fact that you know for sure that you're saved. Miss Gwen shared testimony last week when she played and sang a song about the struggle she went through in her life, even being raised in a pastor's home, that she struggled with assurance of her salvation. And if you struggle with assurance that you know for sure you're saved, it'll be very difficult for you to speak up as a witness for Christ. And so that needs to be settled. John, along with the other apostles, was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1 and verse 1 through 4, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." The eyewitness account of the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved and having fellowship with other believers and with the Father and the Son because of simply believing on the name of Jesus Christ. You can know these things, and if you know these things, you can tell others about what you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we take a look at what Paul wrote about knowing. In 2 Corinthians 5, and beginning with verse number 10, says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now this judgment seat of Christ is the place believers will give an account to the Lord for their life. This has nothing to do with the unsaved of the world. The unsaved appear at a different judgment called the Great White Throne, found in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, where all the lost will stand before God and be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. We don't want people to go to the lake of fire. We don't want people to go to hell now. We don't want people to be lost. We want people to be saved and to fellowship with us as brothers and sisters and be a part of the family of God and share what God has done for you with other people. In chapter 5 and verse 11, he said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for you." Verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So Christ died for us. And if we have the belief in Jesus Christ, then the love of Christ that we should have for him in appreciation for all he suffered and all he did and all he's doing for us, preparing a place for us in heaven, our love for him should constrain us to tell other people about the Lord and his goodness. John said in 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 14, "We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." So we can know that we're saved because of our love for saved people. We get together with fellow believers and we enjoy the fellowship. There's a bond there. There's a communion between believers that is not there with the people of the world. John records in his gospel in chapter 13 that we are to love one another as Christ loved us. And he said this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So the world can know that we are Christians because we demonstrate it by our love for one another. The fruit of the gospel is the fruit of the Spirit, is the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Love is the first one named as a fruit of the Spirit. You know, this pretty weather's got us thinking about gardening. It's about time to start planting some crops and thinking about eating fresh vegetables. And my wife told me the other day, she said, "Boy, I hope squash grows this year like it did last year." We gave bushels of it away, and we ate all we could hold. We fried it, and we boiled it, and we put cheese in it and onions in it and all kinds of stuff. We cooked it about every way you can think to cook it, and we liked it every one of those ways. We like squash. We like crowder peas. We like green beans. And we grow those things ourselves and harvest those things. And this pretty weather's got us thinking about planting. It's almost time to start doing that. And we will rejoice in being able to see the fruit of our labor. And the fruit of our labor as the church is to see people come to know Christ as Savior. To see families become a part of the church and raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and bring them to the nursery, and bring them to Sunday school, and bring them to junior church, and bring them on Wednesday night so they can come to Master Club. Great program for teaching them the Bible and having fun in the process. And all of these things work together to reveal the fruit of your labor when you serve the Lord and are a witness for Christ. So many people say, "Well, I don't know how to witness. I don't feel worthy to be a witness. I don't think I know enough. I don't want to argue with somebody about the Bible or anything of that nature." You know, you go to Walmart and you get a great deal, and you go home and you tell your neighbor about it across the fence that they had something on sale and you got a great deal. You're not worried about getting in an argument with them. You're giving them good news. You're telling them about something special. And the same thing is true with the gospel, friends. The gospel is the good news of God. You can tell folks what God has done for you. You know more than you realize you do. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We're saved by the grace of God through our faith believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. It's not in rituals. It's not because you join the church. You get saved because of a belief that Jesus is the Lord, and you recognize that you are a sinner, and you come to God and ask for forgiveness of your sins and put your trust on Christ, who was offered by God to pay for your sins and for mine, that we might be saved. You know this. You know you're not saved by these other things. You know you're saved by the grace of God through the blood he shed on Calvary. In Romans chapter 1, we see part of the problems of society as a whole about what they know and what they have rejected. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible said, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We're not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of God, of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because it is the power of God unto salvation. So simply by our believing this message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to pay for our sins, we can be saved because the message has the power within it to save us and change us. Then it says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Unsaved man is without excuse. God has given the conscience of man to know there's God. He has made the creation so we can see his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night utters knowledge, because the heavens declare the glory of God. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the problem is not that men don't know God. The problem is that men have rejected God because of evil and wickedness and being vain. They have chosen to reject the message of God in salvation, to do things their own way. This was the temptation with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to become like God. They wanted to choose for themselves what is good and what is evil. And that was Satan's temptation to them. And that was the trap they fell into by disobeying God. And that's the trap that the world is still falling into. That I don't like the message of the Bible. I don't like what it has to say. I don't like having to do things the way that preacher said. I'm going to do for myself what I want to do and how I want to live. Yes, and you're going to stand before God one day, my friend. And without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Mankind has always been guilty of rejecting God because their own vain imaginations and their own foolish heart was darkened because of sin, and they turned away from God rather than turning to him. Look at verse 21 if you're still there. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Then look at verse 28 if you would. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Men have rejected God, and they did not give God glory, and they chose their own way. And God will allow them to go their own way unless they repent and believe on Christ. Their own way will take them to destruction. Now we've looked at knowing what we know in Christ, that secondly, we should be witnesses to tell others about what we know. You know more than you realize you know. We know if we're saved, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon us because of our sins. We know what it's like to feel guilty because we have committed sin, because the Spirit of God has brought conviction upon us. We know what it is like for the Holy Spirit to move in us, to help us believe the message of God in the gospel. We have experienced that as we came to know Christ as our Savior. So what we know what it is like to be a lost person, to be an unsaved person. We know what it is like to be confused about religion and confused about our sins. We know what it is like to be tempted and to be lured, and we know the damage that sin can cause, the harm, the emptiness that it brings, because sin advertises itself with false advertisement. Sin is something that it will take you in a situation that lures you to something that you think will bring pleasure and some desire that you've had, but what it will bring is trouble and trial and destruction in the end. Now, sin will cost you more than you thought. The expression is it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And sin allures you, but you never realize what it's going to cost you if you yield to that temptation and then have to face up to it. Sin is also habit forming, so it will keep you longer than you intended to stay. You slip out of your comfort zone and going to church and living for the Lord and reading your Bible, and you dabble over here with some friends and some sinful things, and you think you can just step over there for a little bit and you're intending to come right back, but sin will keep you longer than you intended to stay. Sin is habit forming. Men take a drink, and then they take another drink, and then they take another drink, and the next thing they know, the drink has taken them, and they can't turn loose. The same thing is true with drugs. People take drugs, and there are drugs out there in the world today that you can become addicted with one experience on those drugs. And then people will steal from their family, steal from their grandmother. They'll kill somebody to get the money to buy those drugs that they're addicted to because of the cravings of their body. It'll take you farther than you wanted to go. You just wanted a little excitement. You just wanted to experience a little bit of what others have told you about. And you thought you'd try it. But you see, my friend, if you start drinking, you might have a DUI. I've had two friends in my lifetime that I knew personally very closely who were drinking and killed somebody with a car. And they've had to live out the rest of their days knowing that they caused an accident that killed someone because they were drinking. One of those men was a special personal friend of mine. He spent 7 years in a federal penitentiary because he ran over an old man and a young boy walking down the side of the road because he was drinking. And it gave great destruction to his life. I'm glad to say in his case there was a happy ending because he came to know Christ as his Savior. And I'm thankful for that. He has passed on now, but he got saved. His life changed. He was faithful in church, and I know God helped him in dealing with the memories that he had. It cost him more than he wanted to pay. It took him farther than he intended to go, and it kept him longer than he wanted to stay. We know these things, and so we need to warn other people who don't seem to know these things. We know how people can be saved, and so it's vital that we are a witness to them of God's love and mercy and grace. We often use the expression when we're talking about being a witness about the blind man in the New Testament. They came to him and they said, "Who is Jesus? Who do you say he is?" And he said, "I really don't know. What I do know is I was blind and now I can see. He healed me." And then Jesus came to him after that and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. You see, you can tell people what God has done for you, just like the blind man. You know once you were lost, and you know now that you're saved. And you know the only reason you're saved is not because of your good works. It's because of the grace of God in saving you and coming to live within you and changing you into a part of the family of God. We've been told the way of salvation, therefore we are obligated to tell someone else of the saving grace of God. Got a long list of things we know here. I'm going to try to finish before we're through here. Knowing of hell and judgment, we should desire to warn people not to go to that awful place. Most people in the world don't want to think about hell. Christians should think about it a lot. We should thank God that we've been saved from it. And then we should warn other people about the danger of going there. Knowing the brevity of life, we should persuade others. James 4:14, he said, "Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. I can't tell you how many people I've known who were my age or a little older or a little younger who have now died and have faced God. Some of them were saved people. I have had a good testimony. But some of them, I have no idea whether they were saved or not. I remember witnessing to a man that I worked with at Duke Power when I was transferred to Duke Power out here at the nuclear plant. It was just a mud hole in the ground. I had been a welder up at McGuire, and we finished welding in the number one reactor vessel. They transferred me with all the nuclear certifications to come out and start welding the underground pipe. And I had a man who worked with me, and he and I put in a lot of the drains underground, these great big old corrugated pipes. And we'd cut them with a big grinder. And then I would weld them together just with a torch and a welding rod and get them welded together good. We put them down in the ground, turning this way or that way or whatever, you know, to drain off the water from the parking lots and all that sort of thing before the job ever even got started. He was a hard worker. And I talked to him a lot about the Lord, but he was a very quiet man. One day he got feeling bad. He told the boss he wanted to go home. They said, "You need to go to the hospital." "No, I want to go home." They said, well, we can take you home, but we can take you to the hospital." "No, I want to go home." So they started toward his home. They went through York, and they came to a stop sign on the way to Blacksburg. And when they stopped at the stop sign, he fell over and he was dead. I don't ever want to forget about that. Because maybe I should have talked to him a little stronger about the Lord. Maybe I should have really confronted him about whether he was saved or not. I want to feel like he was. He wasn't a bad person at all. He was a good man. He was so quiet, I never heard him say a bad word or anything like that. But I should have known if he was saved or not by his testimony. And I don't know because I didn't go that far in asking him and prying with him to see. And he died unexpectedly. So many have died that are younger than I am. Talk to them during the day, and before the sun goes down, they're gone. An old friend of mine I rode motorcycles with a lot came up behind me in a restaurant one day and grabbed me on the back of my shoulder, shook me, and he said, "I want you to do my funeral." And I was shocked, you know. I said, "You might need to do mine. You know, you probably outlived me." And he walked off. Within a matter of weeks, he was dead. He was eaten up with cancer. He had prostate cancer. It had already spread, and he died. We don't know how much time we have. But if we know the gospel, then we have eternal life. It's not a matter of how much time we got in this brief world. We'll simply close our eyes here and we'll open them up with the Lord. For a believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Knowing that there are more people in the world lost than there are people that are saved. And knowing, as Romans 10:14 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? That doesn't just mean a paid professional pastor of a church, not just an evangelist. It means a herald, a witness. How can people hear the gospel without a witness if they've never heard of the Lord? Knowing the coming of the Lord motivates us that our time is limited. I'll tell you all this stuff with Russia. You read your Bible, you find out that Gog and Magog is a part of the end times and will be a part of the vast wars that take place in the tribulation period. And we see them trying to spread out like a Green Bay tree right now. And I'll tell you what, it makes me aware the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And that means our time is limited. If you got lost family and friends and neighbors, it's important that we become a witness because our time is limited. Knowing about all the martyrs who have died for the faith should motivate us to be a witness. Stephen was stoned to death for speaking up for Christ. And Paul was an unsaved man named Saul of Tarsus who held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen to death. Later, Paul was saved and became a witness that witnessed through great adversity. You read in Corinthians of all the times he was beaten, the times he was imprisoned, the times he suffered shipwreck, and all of the experiences that he went through for the gospel's sake, to be a witness to the nations of men. And part of those nations, the gospel has found seed and produced. And then some of those nations have moved to other nations, and then they moved to another nation. And then they came to the United States of America. And that's why we are saved today, because others gave their lives to spread the gospel that we might be saved. Paul said of Ephesus that he warned them day and night for 3 years through tears. You see, that's how you water the seed that you plant, is with tears. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The scripture says there that we should sow in tears and we will reap in joy. Weeping over lost souls, knowing the joy of the Lord, we witness. In Psalm 51 is the psalm that David repented of his sin with Bathsheba. And in that psalm, he asked God to cleanse him of his iniquity and to remove his sin and restore unto him the joy of God's salvation. In verse 7 through 10, he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Then verse 12, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You see, when you have the joy of the Lord, being saved, you can be a witness for Christ. You can tell sinners of the way of salvation, and people can see that you're different because you have the Spirit of God and the joy of the Lord in your life. And so we can be a better witness for Christ. The world is envious of our joy. The world is envious of our peace. The world is envious of life eternal. We do not have to fret and fear and worry. We just need to pray to our Heavenly Father and lay our needs out before Him in faith and confidence that He desires to help us and bless us and meet our needs. Knowing the power of God's Word, we share the message. Isaiah 55, 10, and 11, God's Word goes forth as He pleases, and it does not return void. It will accomplish what He pleases. We need to share the Word because it's living and powerful. It does surgery on the heart. The Word of God gets inside and it causes people to think. It wakes them up from their sleep. It makes them realize they're lost and they need the Lord as their Savior. The world is one great field. And Jesus said, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest." Farming's hard work. There's a guy on TV, redneck fellow up in Boone, North Carolina. Pardon me. Eustace is his name. Got a long beard. Got a house up in Boone in the mountains, got some land. He lets people come up there in groups and learn how to make shake shingles that you nail on a roof that are out of wood, you know, and do work like that, and it benefits him because they're building it for him, you know. And he teaches them how to plant kale and things like that to survive up there in the wintertime. And he does a live farm experience that people can be involved in. You want to learn some live farming experience, go over to Ira's house. That big old 3/4 acre garden he's got over there, I tell you, it'll work you. It's hard work. It takes plowing the ground. It takes the sunshine. It takes killing the weeds and getting them out. It takes effort to put the seed in the ground and to cover it over and then make sure it gets enough water. And it takes pulling up all of the false things that come up, the weeds and everything, and hoeing the ground around the plants to keep it soft so it'll take the water. And then it'll start to bear fruit. And you can pick it, and you can eat it, and you can can it, and you can freeze it. And then in the wintertime, you can make homemade soup. My wife takes the vegetables that we've put away, and she fries up some hamburger meat, good quality 90% lean hamburger meat, drains all the grease off of it. She got them in pound packs. You get it, and you buy it, you know, several pounds at a time, and you put it in the freezer bag, and you smash it flat in a one-pound bag. And you can stack 10 of them where you could only put two otherwise. And she gets one of those out. She heats up the vegetables, the corn and the tomatoes and the okra and the vegetables, and gets all that stuff going. She adds that hamburger meat she's browned. And I love it when it's in season that I can cut up one of those Vidalia onions in there, you know, and put that in it. And, oh, man, I mean, that makes a meal. And then she makes some cornbread muffins. And I'm talking about not the kind that's like pancakes. I'm talking about real cornbread, buttermilk cornbread, no sugar in it. And I can make a meal off of that in a heartbeat. It's enjoyable. It produces something, but it takes labor. This church has got to labor if we're going to see the producing of souls saved and people having the joy of the Lord and those added to the family of God, that we can rejoice with the Lord one day when we get to heaven and sing praise with all who've been saved by the grace of God. There'll be people there from every tongue and every nation and every ethnic group on the earth will be there because of witnesses, because people who tell what they know. You know far more than you realize you do. It's important that we tell others. You can take some of these cards about Easter and you can give them to your neighbors and the people on your street. You can give them to anybody you want to. And just say, hey, here's something about our church on Easter. We'd love for you to come and visit. But if they talk to you and give you a chance, remember what Peter said, be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks you why you have a hope within you of going to heaven and knowing the Lord. And if you're saved, you can tell them what God has done for you. You know more than you realize you do. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people today, for those watching on live streaming. We ask your blessings upon each one. We pray for those that are watching. If there's someone at home that's not saved, we pray that they will come and let us take the gospel and show them how they can be saved before it's everlastingly too late. And bless your people here as they depart and go home. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.